This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's not really soothing, I would say.
It's a joke.
Okay, Motorhead. You know what? I was trying to explain my feelings earlier this hour as we, looking at these protests and our thoughts on what's going on. There's always someone out there who says it better than I do. And I just saw these tweets just a minute ago from Jay Billis.
Love Jay Billis.
College basketball analyst. And I want to read him quickly before we got to Scott Lewis, Voice of San Diego. He said, please stop saying, do you speak out to condemn looting as a reply to statements about ending systemic racism and police brutality against the black community? It's a false equivalence and a misdirection and distraction from the underlying issue. Looting is a criminal act involving property, not a systemic evil in our society. Racism and police brutality against black people are such systemic evils. They're not equivalent, and one does not have to condemn looting in order to condemn racism. By the same logic, one should not respond to statements about eliminating cancer with, do you speak out on the common cold? They're not comparable. That diminishes and misdirects from the issue. Listen, we know what right looks like. Let's make things right.
That's exactly it.
The same reason why I said, don't say all lives matter after someone says black lives matter. It's a totally different issue. Of course, all life has value. It has nothing to do with this movement and trying to stop racism, trying to stop abuse of power against black people in this country. Totally different thing.
Completely and different.
I respect all life as well. Doesn't have anything to do with this movement. So I thought Jay Billis put it really well in those tweets that I just read. We're going to talk to our friend Scott Lewis, Voice of San Diego. First, though, let's check traffic right now on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. This segment of Bennett Woods is brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Tired of being tracked online? DuckDuckGo can help. They help millions of people like you take control of their personal information online. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. And let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline, joining us as he does each and every Tuesday, the editor-in-chief from the Voice of San Diego, Scott Lewis, is back with us here on Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's good, buddy. How you
doing?
Good.
It's good. So just kind of give me your rundown and coverage the last few days of what's been going on, obviously around the country, but specifically here in San Diego with the protests through last night's actions downtown and I think in Escondido.
Well, let me start with this. Yesterday there was a really significant announcement from the mayor of San Diego and from a couple city council women who were there along with the chief of police. And what the mayor announced is that he, and this was not the main thing they were announcing there, we asked him a question afterwards, would he support a ballot measure that's going forward that would create a commission to oversee police here with an independent attorney and independent subpoena power. It's been really bogged down. A lot of people wanted to get it on the ballot, but the police union was negotiating with the city about how it would look, and it had gotten stalled. And he said, absolutely, I look forward to supporting it. It was a huge bit of news. I mean, I think most of us were assuming he wouldn't support it. And so it looks like that'll be on the ballot. That's a real big reform. That group would have a chance to really investigate in a way that internal affairs and other places can't. So that was, I think, one of the most significant things that happened locally yesterday, and it kind of flew under the radar. you know, that announcement that they had gotten together for was that they would stop doing those sort of chokeholds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing, I spoke with Akilah Weber. Dr. Weber, she's a medical doctor, but also city councilwoman in La Mesa. She was part of the group that, you know, late Saturday, early Sunday morning declared the state of emergency and the curfew. And I just tried to really, like, retrace with her what that was like. And it was surreal, obviously. You know, peaceful protests most of the day, and then into the evening, you know, something else happened, an element broke out, and it was mayhem, and we all know what happened there. And so, you know, it's such a weird juxtaposition. This county just last week held a big press conference about how great the crime rate has been. It's historically low. You know, the cities have never been as safe as they are now. And then, obviously, a few days later, a lot of people are on edge. So it's just an amazing time in American history.
It really is. It's something that, you know, I try to reflect on it and think about where we're going to be in 20 years. And this one feels a lot different to me, you know, this situation that's happening right now. I do feel, Scott, a certain, this isn't a word, but fed upness. You know, I feel a certain sea change coming. And I'm seeing people that normally wouldn't speak up. I'm seeing people no longer afraid to support. And what is it about this one, you know, just this one and that's done that, in your opinion?
I think it's boiled off a lot of things to the core. Like you guys were saying earlier, there's a lot of small issues, but there's like a core injustice. And I think a lot of people can relate that, you know, once that George Floyd video came out, right, left, a lot of people were like, you know, the state should not murder somebody like that on video. And so, you know, how we've taken that since then is obviously a complete example of our dissolution as a nation. But there are some core things that you can't get over. And as we all, like, try to grapple with this, and then to see, you know, the tear gas and then to see, you know, some cops attack, but also some protesters and media. I mean, I have never seen the stream of notes about media being attacked and being hurt in some of these things as I am now. And I think we're just, you know, we're getting boiled off into some real core things, and either we get through this or it gets unimaginably worse. But I do think, I would say one thing, we need to get better at protesting. You know, in Europe, they have protests all the time, and some of them are really intense. Every week in France or in Italy or in Spain, they have some kind of, like, intense protest. And the cops push and the protesters push, and there's some damage and stuff like that, but they've created an equilibrium. And I think here we're still, like, it's still a little new and it's still a little extraordinary, and there's a hostility to it from just existing. And I think, like, there's a moment we call an unlawful assembly here where it can't end nonviolently. Like, once you call an unlawful assembly, there's men in the protesters and there's men on the police side that physiologically cannot give up. They cannot bend. And so it is necessarily at that point going to end in a confrontation. And for some reason, Europe and other places have just gotten a lot better at it, just of like allowing it to happen to a certain degree, containing it, and the police and everybody avoiding, like, serious violence. And so I hope that, you know, as we get into poverty and as we get into injustice and things over these next little while, we're going to see a lot more protests, and I just hope we get better at it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. You just jarred something in my memory. I was on my honeymoon 1 year ago today, actually. I was in Paris with my wife, Anna, and we happened upon, after breakfast, a protest, a loud protest. But it never – and, of course, we stood back, and it was in a completely different language. We stood back and observed. I'd never really seen one up close. We stood there, and we were like, wow. Never once, though, did I feel that it was going to escalate. It was almost workmanlike. It was almost like, we're here, you're here, we're going to yell, we're going to chant, we're going to have our signs. And the police there, they, you know, they stood their line and they held their ground, but there was no escalation by either side. they were protesting. And we sat and watched it for probably a good solid half an hour. And by the time we came back, it was done. And it was like everyone was like, well, okay, we got to go to work or we got to go pick up our kids or whatever, but we got our point across today and we'll be back tomorrow. That's something that we need here in this country. It can't always escalate into tear gas and bottles being thrown and rubber bullets from 3 feet away pointed at a media members, not pointed, you know, shooting media members with rubber bullets from 3 feet away. We all saw the videos. It's unconscionable. I can't even imagine. I oftentimes, Scotty, and I wonder if you do the same, I try to put myself in the shoes of the police officer, and I can understand why they get sometimes, why they're on edge. I really can in certain situations down there. The protesters need to do a really good job of going down there, getting their point across, and if they escalate it, you know, then that's on them. It's not on the protesters. They have to, like you said, we have to get better at this.
Yeah. I think there's a major difference in that the prevalence of guns, there is always a chance in any crowd in this country that somebody has a gun. And so, you know, that makes it a different dynamic. But yeah, I mean, they're just fundamentally better at that dance, at recognizing that, like, it may last for a while and you need to do it. And so I hope we get better at it, because there's going to be a lot. There's so much wrong now, and that it also brings home for me one thing I've been worried about, which is schools. Like, we gotta get schools back in session. We don't want to go through another 9 months or whatever with no place for young people to be going, no jobs, no school. Like, what? That is just not a recipe for normalcy or for routine. And so, you know, a lot of the things that we're talking about already with the pandemic are amplified so much more. You know, I would think we would emerge from this in a normal time pretty soon, and get a lot of reforms and hopefully continue the conversation. But with the way things are, this is a recipe for some real unrest.
Talking to Scott Lewis, Editor-in-Chief, Voice of San Diego here on Ben and Woods. And Scott, I want to go back to something you said earlier about the media members who have been arrested, who have been tear gassed, who have been shot with rubber bullets. And I do think sometimes when you hear people in the media talking about abuses of the media, well, it sounds very self-serving. We all want to protect ourselves, but you're in charge of a publication, a media organization. You're kind of responsible for the reporters that work for Voice of San Diego. Why is it so important? I know this is it should be obvious, but at the same time, I don't know that everyone kind of has put two and two together as to why this is such a critical issue.
Well, the media, it's so strange, but it has really been changed. Not only can so many different people call themselves media that wouldn't be able to in the past, including, you know, Voice of San Diego came out of the internet. You know, it's a different situation. And so, but also there's a hostility on both sides. I think the police genuinely do not want people to scrutinize them with video. All the troubles that have come up have been, in many ways, due to the scrutiny and transparency that have come from people being able to record and then the media being able to share what has happened sometimes. And I do think that they see somebody recording, they see somebody there documenting what's happening, and they see that as an enemy. They see that as an opposition. And then on the protester side, their hostility to the media is acute as well. You see protesters harassed, sometimes violently push around media, sometimes being very upset if their picture's taken, stuff like that, in a way that we never saw before. The media was always seen as a necessary and important part of a successful protest. I mean, you're holding up a sign, that means you want people to read your sign. And so there's just something really unsettling happening on both sides. I don't think the police went and said, like, that's a media member, we actually have to attack them. But I also think that when they were pushing a crowd and they saw somebody there who was obvious media, like, it didn't matter. And it kind of made them, like, even a little bit more, like, willing to kind of push them out of the way. There was a couple videos yesterday of, you know, some egregious shots that some people were taking at media that I found just tremendously disturbing. Like, we're there to make sure we know what happens, and if you silence that, then you don't know what happens on both sides. And so It's just a weird world. Everybody's a journalist in a way. They all have phones. They all have media accounts. You know, they can all get things out. And so what the actual role is of the professional media is not nearly as well understood or appreciated as it was in the past. And so we have to tell our people to be, you know, make sure that they have their lawyer's number, that they are ready, and that they're, you know, that they know their rights. They can film on public streets. They can take pictures on public streets, and that's just kind of a basic ground principle that we're never going to give up, or willingly.
Yeah, exactly. Talking to Scott Lewis from Voice of San Diego here on Ben and Woods this morning. I'll switch to something lighter, like the COVID virus, Scott. That seems to be the common thing. I saw a lot of this week. It was, I guess the virus is over. I did see a lot of protesters in the masks. Now, when tear gas is coming, you tend to rip your mask off and try to get oxygen into your lungs. And that's, you're coughing and wheezing and sneezing. That's not good. Do you expect a spike, not only in our county, but kind of nationwide where all of these are going on? Have we already seen that?
Well, that's the real test. I think we're going to see a real test of our basic theory that, you know, based on all the investigations that we had read, that the major way that this virus spreads is inside, is at like choir practices, buffets, funerals, inside, and you know, church services and small things inside. And so we're going to really test whether that, you know, is true. Having a bunch of people around each other, sometimes spitting and yelling at each other, like outside, did the outside really help? I think that honestly provides us an opportunity to evaluate that theory, and hopefully it's okay. We'll see.
Keep our fingers crossed. Scott, good chatting with you as always. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Scott Lewis, Editor-in-Chief, Voice of San Diego, on our SDCCU fan hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates. Equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U, or to apply online, visit SDCCU.com. All right, that was lots of serious topics.
Yeah.
I want to get back to our baseball discussion and open our phone lines, 833-288-0973. We got Brett Boone coming up in our final hour as well. Will baseball be back? Is it going to be a short 50-game season? More coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.